This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will conduct our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
I am Pastor Homer Larson, speaker on the Christian Crusaders radio program, which is heard each Sunday on this station. Jesus taught that we should love one another as he has loved us. Does that mean that we have to like everyone? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for that love that reaches down from heaven above and touches our hearts. We thank you that it is that love manifested in Jesus Christ, our Savior, that can take the hardest of hearts and turn them to living saints. And so we pray today that through the preaching of your word, we may have an understanding of what it is to be loved by God, to love others, and to distinguish when loving does not include liking. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Take all my guilt away.
Friends in Christ, our Lord Jesus taught that we should love one another as he has loved us. Does this really mean that we have to like everyone? Let me read to you the text where Jesus makes this great command. It is recorded in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now those words are very, very clear. And obviously they are spoken by our Lord. They are inspired. They are to be kept in as far as God gives us strength from the very beginning of that word to the end. Jesus here, and I love to see this, says that you must love me as I have loved one another. He calls it a new commandment, and I think that that's what makes it new. They had always had a commandment that you should love one another. But now he is saying to them, you have to love one another as I love you. So ponder that for just a moment, and what do you come up with? Here you have love described. If you love one another as Christ loved us, there is an element of sensitivity in it. When I say I love you, that means I am sensitive to your needs. Notice how Jesus did that. Mothers were bringing these little children to Jesus that he could bless them. And the disciples saw it and they figured that they were bothering Jesus. So they went up to the mothers and said, no, you can't do that anymore. But out of the corner of his eye, our Lord saw that what they were doing and he rebuked them and said, permit the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus was sensitive to what hurt these mothers must have been going through, that someone could send them away when they had perhaps come a long distance just to have the Lord place his hand on their head and offer a blessing. That's sensitivity. That's loving as Jesus would have us love. We have just gone through the season of Lent and Easter, and we have put much attention on sacrifice and how our Lord sacrificed himself for us. Think of it, for the whole world. He suffered and died on a cross, paid the bitter price for the sins of the world, that whoever would repent and believe in him should have life and have it everlastingly. God then says in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, you are to give of yourself. If you truly love a person, you are willing to sacrifice some of your time and your money and your talent and anything else that he needs for his own sake. That's a part of love as far as Jesus is concerned. And certainly just to take another one, and we could have more than one sermon on this topic, but forgiveness, because he forgave us and he forgives us every day. We also should be forgiving people. When we have immersed ourselves in the love of God, then it is only natural that that love flows from our being and that we love him and that he has us empowered to love others. So when our Lord was talking to his disciples, and remember, this is to the disciples that he addressed these words, he spoke in such a way that he said, you know, when they see our love, it will be a witness to the world. Those who have not been immersed in the love of Jesus Christ cannot love that way. It is God-given. But then it goes out to other people. Now, with that having been said, does that mean then I have to like every person with whom I come in contact? Loving and liking are not the same. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody's intelligence. We know that, and we make that distinction again and again. I like my neighbor, but I love my family. That's quite a difference there. So we have to distinguish here. Don't confuse them. There are some people that I simply do not like. The dictionary tells us that liking means feeling attraction for a person, enjoying being with that individual, just like to be with him or her, whatever the situation may be. Let me give you an example or two. I know that we're in the beginning of a golf season. There are certain people with whom I like to play golf. There are other people with whom I would just as soon not play golf. I may like them all right as people, but I don't like to be with them because they get angry. They go out there as if they were Jack Nicklaus himself, and they aren't. They can throw clubs, and at the end of the day, you feel like you've really been through some kind of therapy. I don't like that person on the golf course. Maybe he'll be all right when he gets off the course, but not while he's on it. Or here's a family that moves in and lives across the street from you. And you live there together for a number of years, say 10, 12 years. And one day that you get the sad news that the neighbor is going to move to another part of the United States. And your heart drops. How will we ever get along without having those people there? Then they move away. And after a year or two, you think, we just can't stand it any longer. So you drive 4,000 miles going and coming to see these friends. You like them. They are people who you enjoy being around to the point that you will spend that money to get there and the effort to be with them. Then there's a neighbor across the street. Well, he's lived there for 2 or 3 years, and they're very nice people, kind, accommodating, and everything. But you don't walk across the street from 1 month to the next to say anything to them. Why is it? Well, for some strange reason, you don't dislike them, but you just don't like them like you did that family who moved away. They haven't become that attractive to you. You don't enjoy being with them as much. So we have the likes and the loves, and that's what I'm talking about today. Why is it that we sometimes don't like people? Well, for example, we can just have personality conflicts. We don't see things the same way. The body chemistry or whatever it is isn't quite right. You find that on athletic teams sometimes. I heard a coach say one day regarding his team, they had a lot of talent, but I don't think they really liked playing with one another. They kind of disliked. There was some heat in within the team. Personality conflicts. So that's why we say, well, do you know this person? I'm acquainted with him. I don't attempt to know him. In fact, what little I know about him, I don't like him. That's why we have friends. We like them, but there are some implications here that say you could easily get into some trouble with them. And then you have very close friends who you want to be with as much as you possibly can. That's one reason that we sometimes dislike people. Then we sometimes dislike people because we have different convictions on a topic. There are two sides to the issue. And it isn't that one is right and the other one is wrong. It's just that we see them differently. I recall I served on a community board for some time, and we had a working board for years that everything went along well. We didn't always agree. We often did not have a unanimous vote, but we liked one another. We appreciated one another. We saw the value of us being together. And then there was an election, and another person was brought to the board. This person came in, and it wasn't very long before she let us know that She had come with an agenda. There were a few things that she was going to change. She let us know, too, that she was highly educated in one of the most prestigious Eastern schools there are, and at the best we could muster was a small school in the Midwest or a state university. It wasn't hard to see that she was a feminist, and she played that role, and she declared that some of us on the board were chauvinist, and we played our role. Well, consequently, I have heard others say, and I said it myself, man, the board would have been better off without her. I don't like her, a person says, and I've been known to say that too. Well, this is perhaps a little bit immature. There's no one answer to some of the issues that we often debated and took different positions on. But there was still that feeling of, I really don't like her. And then I go home and have my evening devotions, and I hear Jesus say, but you got to love one another. Do I really have to love that woman? And you know, that does not evade the church, that question. We live in a day where there's a lot of change, and there's a lot of change that is going on in the church. Many of these changes are one as good as the other, but we have our own personal preferences. Today we think of it so often, there is a regular hymn that we have sung for years and years, the traditional hymn we call it, and then we get the praise songs. Well, is one right and the other one wrong? No, we have our own preference, but it is not that one is right and the other one is wrong. But now within the church, we have changes in the Word of God. And I tell you people that it is not right that we sweep some of our differences under the table and say, well, we got to love one another. I do have to love that person who is trying to bring that change into the confessional church, but I don't like what he is doing. Where that teaching is contrary to the Word of God, it is far more than a difference of interpretation. There is behind it a thought that says that for this day, that teaching is not right. That we have to resist. That loving and liking, I can love the person in spite of it all, but I certainly dislike his motive in doing it, I dislike what he is doing, and certainly I dislike the teaching. The church would do well to help people distinguish between loving and liking. This is more than splitting hairs over two words that we know are quite different. For example, not long ago, in a conversation in a small group, I made the statement, I don't like that person. But the individual says, but you got to love him. And my brother was right in saying that. I do have to love him. Just as long as he doesn't confuse the two. While I must love him, I don't have to like some of the things that he's doing. Nor does he have to like some of the things that I'm doing and still can love me. Jesus Christ, I believe, is our example in this whole matter. Jesus loved all people. You hear that great word, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world. We see that not only as far as the world is concerned, but as far as individuals were concerned. As he looked into the hearts of some and into their faces, you could just hear him say, I love you. I love you. On the other hand, there were some people that Jesus definitely did not like. Let us go to the 12th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, verse 34. and listen to these words. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of your heart the mouth speaks. You know who spoke those words? Our Lord Jesus Christ. You know to whom he was speaking? He was speaking to the Pharisees. Did you notice what he called them? You brood of vipers? Can you imagine that language being used from the pulpit or from a classroom in a church? Can you imagine that being used in a congregational meeting? You brood of vipers? Jesus loved these people, but he did not like what they were doing, and therefore he did not like them. In another case, Matthew 23:27, he says, you whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones. It's pretty strong language, isn't it? That it was again his address to the Pharisees. He didn't like what they were doing. And consequently, he didn't like them. It is interesting to notice that this same Lord, who had such sharp words of criticism for some who were within the religious community, loved them. Look at him on the mountain, looking out over Jerusalem. And what did he say? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would love to have gathered you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks. But you would not. Loving, he died partially from a broken heart. You can dislike a person and what he is doing and still love him or her. You know, it's an amazing thing what I have experienced myself, that if you live with a person long enough, even though you do not have a lot of things in common, and many times you are terribly irritated and kind of dislike her or him, but when you begin to examine their motives, when you become sensitive to where they have come from and what their state in life is, then you realize that the sharpness from that not liking them is taken away. I told you about the woman who came onto that community board. I didn't like her. Our terms were 3 years, but by the end of the third year, I had a real deep appreciation for that woman. She had much to offer. So love can do a lot of things, but never, never can it like, because we are taught that we have to love. We cannot like those who are doing things that go contrary to the Word of God. This, my beloved, can be very, very dangerous, because it can sweep many things under the rug that are wrong, and they can change some of the great teachings of the Christian faith, almost unbeknown to us. As Jesus said, love as I have loved you, but never did he say you have to like everything that you hear or see. Amen.
Jesus, I am.
Lord, we know that there are many things in our lives that you do not like. We pray that because you love us, you will forgive us. And because you love us, we pray that you will send the Holy Spirit to change our lives, that you may not only love us, but like us. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message helps fill your heart with the peace that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. A memorial gift or honorarium to Christian Crusaders is a meaningful way to remember a loved one on their birthday or some other occasion. Address your gift of remembrance to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank each of our listeners who support Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. Today's program is available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Visit us online at www.christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are also available. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.